This is the Sportsbet AFL podcast. Brownie, Richo and Hummer joining you. No introduction today, Brownie, because, well, I haven't prepared one. And we've got a big, big show now. Richo, just off the top, we just describe to the listeners what the hell Nathan Brown is dressed as today, because it's a strange setup.
Well, it's a fancy dress here today, Hummer. Well, oh, you didn't tell me.
No, well, so he's just come in. And
a bit of filming later, boys.
Brownie, what are you acting as?
Well, I've got a normal white shirt on and I've got a blue knit.
You've got
it's a country road V-neck.
But the worst part is, what, the top button? You've got the top button done.
He's got like a white business shirt on, Hummer, and he has done the top button up with a little V-neck sweater over it. What, do you think you're a Northcote hipster, mate?
The thing is, you blokes are looking at it going, actually, it looks pretty cool.
No, we're definitely not. Why? It would look fine if you didn't have the top button done up.
Why have you done the top button up?
Well, I'll tell you, because I got it out of the cupboard this morning and it is quite wrinkled and all that sort of stuff. So when I was coming in this morning, it kept on going out over the edge of my V-neck and right. I didn't like that. It looks right. very sloppy when that happens.
Right.
So I thought I'd do it up for a while and then start trying to bring it in without having to iron it. And then I thought, I looked in the mirror, I thought, looks okay.
Look again, mate.
So do you actually do this to get a reaction? I think you do, don't you?
I got a good reaction from Hummer when I walked in, which was rather negative. Like right. It was as you'd expect from a mate, but every female in the office then stood up.
Did they
and absolutely
ever?
Gave it to
gave
Hummer.
It to me.
Got some support, did you?
Yeah.
I think I might get
one of the nicest guys around him.
Oh, yeah. Gee, they don't know you very well, mate.
Hey, but it's been a big week for you as well, Richo, because the AFL is pleased to announce a second series of Thomas and Friends collaboration has been launched today, a bit earlier this week.
No, that was a first series.
Which...
That's how popular it was, boys. Don't worry about
Thomas
that.
Thomas the Tank Engine.
Yes. Now, you have reprised a role of, what was it? What's the name?
Shane the Train. Now, don't laugh, boys. This is a worldwide hit. Thomas the
Shane
Tank Engine.
Shane the Train.
Shane the Train, voiced by Richmond great Matthew Richardson.
Are you telling me you don't enjoy Thomas the Tank Engine?
I don't mind it. I liked it when I play. When I watched it as a young kid.
I bet your kids like it now.
They do like it. But it's very funny that you're on it.
Yeah, I am. And people say, why did you do it? Well, if it's good enough for Ringo Starr, Hummer, it's good enough for me.
True.
Give us some of your best. Give us a couple of one-liners.
Hummer might play a bit now.
We've got that now. So for those that, and there's probably a few that haven't listened to it before, we're just going to have a listen to Richo's role as Steve?
Shane the Train.
Here we go.
G'day, Thomas. Nice timing, mate. The doggies need your help.
I'd be happy to help. I love dogs. Such friendly animals.
Oh, not that kind of dog, Thomas. Follow me. Footballs in Australia are oval shaped.
Oh, there we go. Footballs in Australia are oval shaped.
What? Are you meant to use your voice or are you meant to go in unison with how they speak?
No, well, I'm clearly Thomas is out here in Australia learning about Australian rules football, and I'm the local Shane the Train from down at Footscray
you
Station.
You spoke like the local Shane the Train Bogan.
Well, I am from Tasmania, mate.
What's the plot line here? What's the idea of it?
Well, the idea of it, Hummer, is that Thomas is clearly in Australia visiting.
Yep.
He's meeting some trams, Melbourne trams. He's meeting trains. He goes down to the MCG and has a look. And Gary Ablett's in it as well.
Oh, yeah. Gaz, eh?
You know
That's
what he
great.
Is?
Why hasn't
Gary,
Thomas got an English accent then?
Gary the Ute, he is.
Gary the Ute.
Obviously, this is a good payer.
I've got to pay the bills, boys. You know that.
Hey, sometimes you can say no. You know that, don't you?
Now, moving to the more serious stuff, less funny stuff, though, the Rising Star Boys. Now,
I did the Collingwood game Saturday night. Stevenson was outstanding. And I had a look at it with us because not a lot of the other betting agencies have it, the Rising Star. He was $2 with us. And I thought, even before the game, that is huge odds. And then he had 25 and kicked two. I thought, geez, still $2. I don't mind that. He got into $1.75 Monday. He's now into $1.60.
$1.65 now.
What about Chris Fagan's comments, though, about his boy Witherden at halfback? He's having all Australian-type numbers at halfback.
He's having a great year, but I don't think anybody's had the impact of Stevenson. He
playing in a tough position.
Won the game against Adelaide earlier on in the year with 5 goals. I mean, he's done everything he possibly can. Witherden's been a very good player, and I agree. He won't be All-Australian because they make you earn the All-Australian.
The numbers are similar, but I guess playing at half-back compared to playing at half-forward and kicking goals, well, you can't compare, in my opinion.
Half-forward's a much tougher position.
It is, yeah.
Stevenson, he's one of the most dangerous half-forwards in the comp, and he'll win the Rising Star without a doubt.
$1.55, but of course you can find value because we saw what happened with Burton last year. He was a very short favourite and didn't get the job. Alex Witherden at $4. Tom Doty from Adelaide, $7. I don't mind a name by James Warple at $41.
He the Warpedo.
The Warpedo, wasn't he good against the Cats?
He certainly was. He is good. What about now? Are we letting Brendan Goddard play on? Obviously, his knee will be okay. I think people talk about, you know, am I taking the spot of a young player? Well, if you're as good as Goddard and you can use the ball as well as Goddard, I think it's got to be up to a young player to take that spot and improve ahead of him. So I would be giving Brendan Goddard another contract no matter what.
I think if you look at the demographic and age of your whole list, and Essendon have got a lot of young players in that team, you need to have some experience around, and they do. They've got Hooker and guys like this, but I think he's played well enough to get another one-year deal, and, yeah, I think he deserves
one more. Not too many blokes who can use the footy the way he does.
No.
Now, if Essendon don't, will someone definitely else will slide in?
I don't know.
Unless the Gold Coast Suns wanted to do a Luke Hodge type of thing, you could see that perhaps, but no.
Would he want to, though?
No, I don't think he'd want to. I don't think he'd want to.
Hey, are we really impressed with his work? Because he's getting a little Bunsen on the side, isn't he? For
we'll talk about side earn.
The advanced here. Only 40 grand. I reckon you'd want more to go public.
What is
with
he
that.
Actually having done? Is he having plugs put in or what is it?
Well, I think that is the way that you regrow your own hair, apparently, but I'm sure there's some sort of implant work going on.
Right.
Yeah, for 40 large. He's done a lot. He's all over Facebook, his TV.
When
radio.
Warney's getting a couple of million, you'd probably want to get at least a little bit more than that.
Yeah, but Warney's global.
I mean,
all the cricketers that do it, Ricky Ponting's done it, they're global. Mm. I mean, that can go right through the
world. Now, has Goddard had it done or is he about to have this treatment done?
Well, I was having a good look at it Friday night. I don't think it's worked yet.
Speaking of sports stars in the media, the Nick Cummins, the Honey Badger, he was on The Bachelor last night. Do you boys tune in?
I don't watch it.
No?
I've watched The Bachelor. I watched Bachelor in Paradise. I haven't watched this one yet, pretty much because I don't get it. I don't get why they'd have him on there.
Why not? He's
Celebrity Bachelor.
He's a good-looking man.
Nobody down here cares about him. He's an NRL
Do people know who
player.
He is in Melbourne?
They would not know who he is.
They know who he is because he's had a very public profile forever.
The Honey Badger. Done all the ads on TV.
Yeah, but you'd have to be an ingrained Nuffy to know who he is down here if you didn't know who he
Sports fans would know.
Well, who's let's throw up a relevance for an AFL player, who would be the same sort of person, and do you think they would know him in Sydney?
Well, it's someone with a very big profile because he's on the Bonds ads. He's got his own TV show. He's a big profile, and this is a national show. As remember, he's a rugby union player.
I just reckon the chicks are going to get on there. The girls are going to get on there and go, not really sure.
Well, mate, they weren't. They were, and I tell you what,
they were excited, were they?
Very excited. Yeah. Well,
you know why? Because they're clearly only going on that show for one reason, and that is notoriety.
I don't think that's not for all girls. Some are genuinely looking for love. There is an absolute stage five.
There's some genuine love going on there.
There's a girl that he. Now this is an accident. Well, they say it's an accident. The producers have come out and said it's an accident. He used to hook up with this girl for a little while. And she's found her way onto The Bachelor and she's an absolute stage five clinger. She's got a dream diary. A dream diary and she got him down. She set him down.
You can't say those sort of things in 2018.
I did on the sports but Twitter last night. I had to tweet. I was working last night. Rich, I had to cover it and put some funny tweets out. She's a stage five clinger. She got him aside.
Let us know when the funny ones come out. Then
I've got a dream. You like rolling with that one, Brownie? You're a pig. She got her dream diary out. Let me finish the story. She got her dream diary out and told him that she had written 2 years ago. She had written his name down in her dream diary that she was going to fall in love with him.
Wow.
She told him that.
Well, that's some people have dreams. I had a dream when I was a kid.
Yeah, well, you're not going up to the.
She likes to cook rabbits as well.
Fatal Attraction style.
Yeah.
One of the great movies, wasn't it?
I loved that movie.
I actually saw that come. I haven't seen Fatal Attraction, but I saw that come up last night a few times about how the rabbit thing. I didn't really understand what it is.
Oh, you didn't know?
We played with a couple of players who I'd love to see go on The Bachelor.
I'd love to see a few teammates on there.
One of my teammates that I'd love to see on there is a guy called Mark Coughlan, because he is that aloof and that unaware of society or what's going on around him. He was once dating a girl, right? So went over to pick her up, didn't realise that he'd actually stepped in dog shit just before he got over to her house, walked into her house, sat down, was waiting for her to get ready. He was going to drive her to the restaurant. And she's going, something smells. He's sitting there and he could smell it too. He thought it was the house when he walked into the house. He's going, geez, this bird's house stinks. And,
no.
He'd actually dog shit all through her house.
Is he still single?
No, he's got a girlfriend now.
Has he?
So he might not be.
I don't know.
I haven't seen Cogs for a while.
What's
he doing?
He lives in Perth. Yeah. He's doing very well, actually. Got a really good career happening.
Hey, now, boys, you're about to take one of the treks that is very notorious in Australia's history. It's a very tough trek.
Yeah.
Kokoda, you're doing it for charity.
We're only 8 weeks off now, Hummer.
Nine weeks. Now, you're in full training.
Yeah, I've been training for 6 months.
Oh, what have you done in those 6 months, Matthew?
I've been running every second day.
Well, I run every second day as well.
But the thing about Nathan, Hummer, is I think I told this on an earlier podcast, but when I asked him what training he's been doing, his response was muscle memory. He doesn't think he needs to train. Now, he just went out and bought his new hiking boots, which you need, and you've got to wear them in.
You have to, otherwise your feet will fall off.
Got them from the North Face.
Have you worn them in yet?
I have. I wore them down to Hobart last week.
And you wore them to Hobart?
Hobart.
What did you do? Walk up Mount Wellington, did you?
No, we had a couple of kicks. We had the double barrel competition, so I had to run from end to end, kicking the footies back.
You sat in the commentary box.
Yeah, cut. So you've got to wear them in, and you've worn them sitting down. There is literally zero point to that.
I do a lot of walking, to be honest.
When?
You just wear them around. You wear them in, hum.
But you honestly think you're going to be able to do this without any actual training? Like what?
Well, like Matthew just said, I go for a run a couple of times a week, which is holding me in pretty good shape.
You're running in the walking boots.
I do a boxing session once a week on a Tuesday morning.
It's boxer size, Brownie.
It's genuine boxing.
You're not sparring.
Some of the toughest hombres getting about.
I've been told you need to do at least 8 weeks walking in them to wear them in, because if you get to Kokoda and get blisters, you're in all sorts of trouble. Nathan wears his sitting down in the commentary box to wear them in. That's not going to work.
And the problem is you're going to bring the whole tour down when you need to get medevaced out of there.
I reckon I'll be okay. All right. Don't worry about me. I'll get through.
We'll update you.
Yeah, we'll be following that very closely. Just before we get into this week's games, and I mean, obviously with two rounds, it is an absolute cracker round. I just wanted to touch on our eight, because a couple of weeks ago, you boys, you made your predictions for your top eight, what it's going
to
look like.
You've still got 2 weeks to go.
There's still 2 weeks to go, but we're getting a very clear picture of what it looks like now. Now, I'm going to go through your first eight, Richard. You had Richmond and West Coast at the top two. That was
pretty easy, though.
You had Geelong in third.
Yeah, well, that's...
Now, that is gone.
That's gone wrong.
Collingwood in fourth.
Yeah, that's still possible.
Port Adelaide in fifth.
Still possible. Got to win both games.
Well, that's going to be tough. GWS in sixth.
Yeah, that's all right.
Melbourne in seventh.
Just need to win one more, Melbourne.
So they might get eighth. And Hawthorn at eighth.
So the team that's let me down is the Hawthorn Geelong. You can flip them because I actually gave Geelong a win over Richmond and Hawthorn.
And Hawthorn, yeah.
Yeah, so that's what's cost me there. No, it shows you how tough
it is.
Too bad.
Now, Brownie, you've gone Richmond and West Coast, the same.
Yeah, I'm just getting the ladder up. Yep. Hang on, huh?
Well, I can go to that after. You've got Collingwood in third place, GWS in fourth.
So that's still looking all right.
That's looking okay. Melbourne in fifth.
Can still happen.
Yep.
Geelong in
sixth. They'll beat West Coast this week, by the way.
Geelong in sixth.
They will finish sixth. They've got two easy games.
Port in seventh.
Port Adelaide, they're eighth at the moment.
And Hawthorn in eighth.
Hawthorn in eighth. I mean, Hawthorn could quite easily finish eighth, but I think they'll finish higher than that at the moment.
They can't.
Again, the one we got wrong was Hawthorn, I think.
Yeah, Hawthorn and Geelong are the one, yeah.
Now, to just go, we've got the current ladder as it stands. Richmond, West Coast, GWS, Hawthorn, Collingwood, Sydney, Melbourne, Port Adelaide. So you're actually not too far off there. Geelong for Richo, and I guess underrating Hawthorn now.
And Sydney, they win one of their last two, you know. And the win on the weekend was huge for them. They can still make it
two
now.
Two close wins. Good footy side, aren't they?
Yeah.
Now, Hawthorn, is there a side that can beat Richmond on the last day of September?
I think there is. Hawthorn's one of them. I think GWS. I've said this a couple of times. I like the way how they've had to do it hard this year. They've got some injuries, but I think they can win it. I'm not sure whether West Coast can do it.
I think Hawthorn are playing good footy. West Coast can make it. Can they win on the G? Well, they did beat Collingwood there a month ago, so yeah, they can. I still think it'll be a Richmond-West Coast grand final.
Richmond versus Essendon Friday night. If Essendon can win this, now we keep saying that Richmond are due, they are a real shot for the eight. We've got about $21 to make the top eight at this stage.
Have to beat Port Adelaide in Adelaide as well. It's going to be tough.
And even then, their percentage mightn't get them there.
Are they a chance to beat Richmond this week?
Yes, they are, because Richmond have already ruled out Kane Lambert, who's had surgery on that syndesmosis of his ankle. Dion Prestia reported in the paper today he's a little bit sore. They're not going to risk him with his history this year. He's had calves and hammies. So, you know, there's two of their A-grade midfielders out if Prestia doesn't play. So Essendon are a chance to cause an upset here. Big chance.
Yeah, they are. It looks like at the moment they can't make the finals. What does that do anything to you, to your psyche going into this game going, well, you know, we can't really make
it. Orazio's a big out, isn't he?
He's a huge out. We can't. They've got some huge injuries at the moment, the Bombers. So I just think their mental approach going into this game is going to be what wins or loses or doesn't allow them to play well. I'm still going to tip Richmond.
Now, do either of you subscribe to this theory that the two theories, one, that the side is due for a loss, and two,
no,
that they need to have a loss before this finals campaign?
Absolute nonsense.
There's a lot of people do talk about that.
Yeah, I know.
Why?
Because it's just like a topic to raise. But why, when you're winning, why don't you want to keep winning? Why have you got to have a loss to re-motivate yourself? Surely winning's enough motivation. Mm. Carlton won 16 a row in 95 to win the flag. You know, I don't think that means anything.
Richmond $1.30, Essendon $3.66 in that one. Saturday, the Pies versus Port Adelaide, a massive, massive game for ramifications for the top eight. Collingwood $1.42. Port Adelaide $2.90. This one at the G.
Port, the Adelaide press should be all over Port. I mean, they went out and recruited Watts, Motlop, Rockcliffe. That was meant to just be the icing on top for them to finish top four and have a crack at the flag. They lose this one on Saturday. They're relying on that home win against Essendon in round 23 just to make it. So this is huge. I don't think they can beat Collingwood. Collingwood's consistency is outstanding.
No way known can they beat Collingwood. And the Dixon, line in this game, 16.5. I think Collingwood cover that line at the
Dixon
MCG.
Dixon and Ryder out.
Weather, we got good weather.
Weather's going to be pretty ordinary on the weekend. And I just think Collingwood play those conditions pretty well. They structure up well. They've got a lot of injuries, but I just think that they win.
And do you think Port can recover and win their last game without Dixon and Ryder?
Not with the injuries. Ryder's their most important player. I think Robbie Gray's their most brilliant and exciting player, but without Paddy Ryder, I don't think they're going anywhere.
Yeah. No, good call. I think Collingwood in this one.
Hey, Brownie, a new segment that you bought a couple of weeks ago. You like to keep people honest on social media. Now, not just us in the room, but you like to keep anyone of notoriety honest on social media. Who have you got for us this week?
You know what I love on social media? Yeah. I love Rowan Connolly.
He's the best in the business.
I'm happy to see. So normally we do a rant or a rub here where we rant about something. I love the fact that Rowan Connolly, I don't know whether he drinks at night or not, but he's a ripper. And so
what do you mean?
Well, I reckon, you know, when you sit at home sometimes, you've had a few wines and you get a little bit looser with your fingers than what you Twitter. Some people need to ban themselves.
My idea, and it's not other people have had this idea, you should have a breathalyzer
on your
phone. And as soon as it gets past a certain point,
you're gone.
You're locked out.
Can't do anything.
You're locked out of Twitter.
No Facebook, Twitter. Yeah, you can't message an ex. Yeah, nothing on Instagram.
Yeah.
Well, there was a politician during the week who went on with some pretty ordinary stuff about the White Australia policy.
That was
but
absolutely
Rowan
disgraceful.
Rowan Connolly, and he's a media person. His tweet is, F off, no, really, and then in capitals, F off again. And he's talking about pathetic, all that sort of stuff. And then he's obviously got the usual trolls that have come and had a go at him. And there's this young kid called Emidio, and Twitter tag is at heinous animal. So he's carried on and had a go at Rowan Connolly. And Rowan Connolly's come back at him, he's gone, here's Emidio's profile, by the way, girls. Who could resist? And this is the guy's profile. Serial love rat, soon to be featured on A Current Affair. Other interests include gambling, firearms, and V8 Holden Commodores. Twice divorced. And he goes, and then Rowan goes on to say, aren't you a catcher? If an idiot.
That's not serious, though. That's a mock account.
It is. It's got to be a
I love the fact that Rowan just doesn't give a shit and just goes hard at all the people. He tweets everybody and doesn't discriminate whether who they are, male, female, or anything. He has a crack.
He has a real go,
doesn't
he?
Have you been pulled up for what you've done on social media?
No, I think he works basically for himself now. He writes, he's got his own website. So I reckon when he was working for The Age, he probably would have had to be a bit more
social media is one place I've never had a bit of an issue on, so that's okay.
Do you, a little bit off topic here, but a question that certainly the listeners would like to know, how do you deal with abuse on social media? Are there times when you've made a mistake, you've done something, you know that Twitter's going to be a bad place for you, and do you avoid it completely?
Or, yeah, you just don't.
Because there is some in the media that they need to read it.
Occasionally.
You work with a couple, and I know we work with someone at Sportsbet who just, they love sitting on Twitter as soon as they're on air to see how they're
being received. No, if I get a negative comment, I like to actually have a joke back with it. Yeah. I think you can't take it seriously. People want you to respond, don't they? That's what they do it for.
I got told a very important thing. 1% of people have the loudest voice, and they'll get on Twitter and they'll be the ones that want to give it to you. And it seems like everybody has got that same opinion, but you got to remember that 99% of people out there don't care and don't get on Twitter and have a conversation either way. So it's always the 1% that have the biggest say.
Yeah.
There you go. Inspiring words if you are getting a bit of abuse online. Just listen to the great words of Nathan Brown. Hey, we'll just look at this game very quickly because I can't imagine there being any other result but a Geelong win against Fremantle down at the Cattery. Geelong $1.02. That is as short as you're ever going to see a side.
Yeah, I'll be down there at Geelong on the weekend.
Looking forward to
driving down there. That'd be great.
Why are you down there? Saturday day. That's not normally your slot.
Didn't you get a helicopter down last time?
We did.
That's right.
We did. I got the helicopter down.
Can you believe that, what is wrong with these blokes?
We had
the Triple M Boys Club. Me.
We had to, you love it, though. He thinks our radio show is the best ever. He loves it. He doesn't miss it.
Yeah. I don't mind it.
But that is complete nonsense. Pathetic. They had to get a – it would have taken them longer.
That's right.
By the time they got on the helicopter, landed, got off, you could have driven there just
Where'd you
quick.
Get dropped off?
But down at the – down in Lingy's restaurant down there on the
– Waterfront, the
on
edge.
The waterfront.
Oh, so you still had to get a cab.
At the end, it took us almost just as long to get
that's
down,
what
get
I just said.
Who paid for it?
One of Billy's mates had to – but what it is, it's content. And you blokes are still talking about it now. It happened 12 weeks ago.
Content. Geelong by 10 goals at least.
Geelong.
Why are you doing that game, by the way?
I'm not sure. Just one of them. I'm going to do Gold Coast, Brisbane. I'm going to take Brisbane.
Well, you missed the GWS Sydney game.
Brandy, what the hell are you doing?
I'll go ahead.
All right, so we don't need to talk about Gold Coast, Brisbane, really, but let's jump.
Brisbane, for me.
Greater Western Sydney, Sydney. You know, this is a big, big game. What do they call it? The bridge?
Battle of the Bridge.
Battle of the Bridge. Who are you going there?
I'm going to go GWS. I think Sydney are playing okay in the last 2 weeks, but GWS are just playing that much better, and I think they get the job done against Sydney. They'll be too quick for them.
I'm actually going to tip Sydney.
Good on you.
But it's good to see Big Bud flying around again, isn't it?
You know what?
You're some sort of hero, are you?
Nah, because they've got their edge back. The Swans have got their edge back, and I just think, is Josh Kelly playing? He got knocked out last week.
We
don't know at this stage.
Don't know. Yeah, obviously. So Reed's done his hammy. So there's another injury. They're getting a bit. They're getting a bit thin with injury now. They've got over 1,000 games out with injury. So I just think the Swans know they need one more to make it certain that they play finals. They've got Hawthorn in the last round. I think they set themselves for this one.
Sydney $2.15. Greater Western Sydney $1.71. With that 75% of the cash on the Giants. Saturday nights and Kilda Hawthorns. And Kilda season's obviously done. Hawthorns
another
very
Saturday
much
night
alive.
Ripper at Etihad on Channel 7.
Jeez, have you got that game?
We've copped some ordinary games. Yeah. I can't see this one being.
The ratings are like 40% down this year because of the games.
Because
isn't
of the draw.
And James Brayshaw came in.
That's your comment. James has been magnificent.
Hey, look out. What's going to happen when they go the little boxer size, Brayshaw?
But, Hummer, this brings up the point that seriously, towards the end of the season, the last four or five rounds, the broadcasters must be able to choose their game.
Oh, without a doubt.
Who's saying that they shouldn't? Because everyone, you go on Twitter during these games and you guys working it and those at the ground, it's horrific. It's ruining our Saturday night, especially for footy fans. So who's saying that there shouldn't be a floating fixture? And why wouldn't there be?
Well, the AFL need to investigate into it. I just think they've made a massive error this year.
The NFL
games.
Does it late in the season. The last two rounds, the NFL in
America. They're dealing with a bigger competition. They're dealing with a bigger country, and they're dealing with a lot more flights and a lot more teams. So they get it done. But I just think the AFL they put their hands up and they said, "Yeah, we got it wrong this year. It was a massive balls up." And I think they'll get it better next year, and they'll work with Channel 7 and Fox Footy.
But Hawks easy.
Hawks easy $1.16.
Can't wait for Channel 9 to get the footy back.
$5.30. Well, you'll be a shot for a.
I reckon next deal.
TV role then. When is it? When is the next deal?
I've got no idea. It's probably 3 years away yet.
Another 3 years. Yeah.
Hey, Brownie, you've had a tough week, haven't you?
Well, it's been a busy week because my wife's over in New York. She's over there for 11 days.
Clearly, he's got no clean clothes left, Hummer, because he's had to wear what he's got on today.
That is, oh, you've cracked it. You have cracked it. That is why he's Chris.
Real funny Chris sort of stuff. But you're a father, Matthew, yeah. So am I. And it's funny that when you see your kids do things that, and you just see yourself in them. Yeah. And there's been a couple of moments this week where.
Is that disturbing?
It is. It would be disturbing if they were anything like my dad. So I'll take you back to something that happened with my old man. When I was 17, we were playing for the Bendigo Pioneers, and we always used to have parties at our house because we lived in the city. So it was just a short walk over the bridge into town. So there was myself, Michael Braun from the West Coast Eagles, Chris Tarrant.
The Rat Pack.
Damien Locke, who went to Carlton. Yeah. So Dean Solomon. So we'd all go over the bridge. And this one, very nice. We'd been drinking the little grenades. Remember the little grenades, the VB ones?
The little.
Oh, they had
Yeah.
How old were you? 17.
17. So 17. We're going in and into town, and I can't remember who it was, but they said, I bet you can't hit that sign over there because that emptied my beer. And I threw it, hit the sign, and out of nowhere, a police car pulled over and just pulled us all up.
If I know you, Nathan, it wasn't out of nowhere. The car would have been sitting there watching you.
But anyway, I got put in the back of the divvy van and had to go down to the Bendigo lockup, and I'm 17 at this stage. So they've rang the old man and they've said, and the copper knew who he was but didn't, not family, friends. Bendigo's a small place. He goes, I've got your son down here. And the old man was like, oh, just leave him there overnight. We'll come down and get him in the morning, teach him a lesson. And he goes, well, I'd love to do that, Mr. Brown, but unfortunately he's a minor and you're going to have to come and get him and you're going to have to deal with him yourself. And Dad goes, no problem. So I come down. So the first thing is he sees me, looks at me, and he plants one on my jaw, like not a hard one, but planted one on my jaw. And then so we're driving home, and the thing was Dad had been drinking himself. So we're driving home and he's like, have you learnt your lesson? And I said, yeah, I have, Dad. He goes, all right, I'll drop you off where the other boys are. So he dropped me off out the front of the nightclub, which is Studio 54, which he knew one of the bouncers. He put his head out the window and goes, make sure he gets home okay. And he goes, yep. And so I went in for the rest of the night.
Parenting 101.
Parenting 101. So I've always tried to steer away from that sort of crass sort of behaviour. And anyway, I see things in my own kids. Like Ava is she's very educated and she's very smart, which probably I was obviously as well. Helena, very, very good at ball sports. So you saw the other day on Instagram.
I saw her kicking,
took a nice mark,
She'll be AFLW.
One thing I saw her do the other night, the girls put some music on and they're dancing. One thing Helena can't do is dance.
Like you.
I'm a horrendous dancer. Yep. Horrendous dancer. Jude, good looking, really nice kid, similar to what I was probably. But the one that I don't get and the one I can't figure out is the youngest one, Florence, who's got the most enormous temper you'd ever want to see.
Really?
Shocking temper. And I don't have a temper. I'm very laid back. So we're at the supermarket the other day and I'm holding her in my arms. And we walk past the up and goes. She loves up and goes. Yep. And she's wanted one. And I wouldn't let her have one. So she's cracked it.
Got the fibre of two Weet-Bix.
And she's making these noises, like just screaming at my face, like these horrendous noises. And this old lady came up, and you know old ladies do? And they come up, and they got no problem with touching kids they don't know.
Yeah, they grew up in a different time.
So she's come
That's
up,
all right,
and she's tried to touch Florence, and Florence has let out this scream at her that just put the old lady back. She would have been about 75, and she started to go down. So she's slipping over. And I'm like, and I'm trying to hold her up, this old lady, because I didn't want to hit the deck. And then Florence is pulling away the other way, and I just lost all center of gravity, right? And I've hit the deck as well. So I've hit the deck. I had to put Florence down to help the old lady up. And as I look over, and I thought, that's what I've seen in Florence, which is like me. She's straight over to the up and goes, and she's got one, and she's putting the straw in it.
Good.
She got you, Nato.
She got me, Matt.
There you go. Well, why wouldn't you let them have an up and go? Really, they're healthy. Why wouldn't you give her an up and go?
You can't give them everything they want, Hummer.
Really?
Sometimes a bit of tough love.
I'd be a shocking dad then. That's the case. Hey, Carlton versus the Western Bulldogs. Bit of a. Well, I mean, it is a lot of games are dead rubbers this time of year. Neither side. Carlton.
Dogs are playing well, though, aren't they?
Dogs going all right now.
Dogs are going for three in a row. They've got a young team, and I think Luke Beveridge has got them going again. I think he's found the mix that he wants moving forward. And, you know, they're going to go into summer, obviously disappointed with the year, the Bulldogs, but they're going to have a little bit of a ray of sunshine there with some of the young players they've unearthed, I reckon.
You the same?
Oh, I agree. I agree.
What about Carlton? What do Carlton need to do?
Oh, I think they just need to get to the end of the season. I think they'll be much better next year, the Blues, but I just think it's hard mid-season to change anything, and I think they lose this game comfortably.
How good's Cripps, though? Oh. Jeez, he's good.
He's going to win a Brownlow, is he?
I think he will one day because he's just in. Yep. He's such a contested beast.
Probably next year too.
Yeah. If they win 6 or 7 games next year, he can win the Brownlow.
I reckon they'll be much better. I reckon they've got a good spine, Carlton. They've got some good kids. It'll turn around quicker than people think.
West Coast versus Melbourne now, very similar situation to last year. Melbourne needed to win over in West Coast late in the year for any chance to follow. Same thing this year. They haven't been the side in the top 8 this year yet. West Coast doing pretty well over there, but you think Melbourne can win?
I just think they'll win because I think their run game is really good.
Hogan's
West Coast,
out.
Gaff is out. I think they can cover Hogan. I think McDonald's pretty good. I think Petrarca can play out of the goal square. So I just think Melbourne, this is a game they win when you don't expect them to.
I can't tip against the Eagles at home. Josh Kennedy's still not playing though. So look, Melbourne are in with a chance, but I think it's going to come down to their last game at the G against the Giants, Melbourne. I think they'll lose this week.
Do you read into the fact that they haven't been in a top 8 side this year?
Yeah,
you have to.
And it's inside their head as well. They go into the next game, West Coast, or go into a final when they do play it, going, we haven't actually beaten a side in the top 8.
Look, they did have 20 inside 50s in that last quarter, and Sydney just had Heaney back and numbers back. But, yeah, it is inside their head a little bit.
But when you look at those games, most games against those top 8 sides, they've been in a position to win. Geelong on a couple of occasions.
The thing about them, Brandon, that they're playing the right way. They win the contested footy. They
should have beaten Port Adelaide.
Yeah, they should have. So they've got a lot right, Melbourne, and it will turn. I know Simon Goodwin is probably getting frustrated, but when it turns, they're a young team. They're going to be a good team in the next few years.
Rounding out the round, Adelaide versus North Melbourne, $1.35. North Melbourne, $3.20. Can still make the 8 North.
Yeah, after last week's loss, I reckon they'd be flat. They'd be really flat, and I reckon they drag that into this week, and I think Adelaide win comfortably.
Comfortably?
Yep.
Yeah.
Even without Tex, I think they do over there. They played really well against GWS.
Gee, they were odds on to make the finals before that game last week, North Melbourne. They let that go. You wouldn't...
28 points up.
You wouldn't read about that. Yeah, I think at home, Adelaide over. Well, I know Adelaide are flat as well. Their season's over, but
They're still playing well. They
stuck with the Giants for a long way last week, and just at home, I think you've got to stick with them. Gee, North, I mean... They probably would have made the finals before their time this year. It's been a good year for them, but they're just looking – they've dropped away a bit late.
Mm. Hey, Tex Walker. Now, has there ever been – did you ever have a year in your careers where you had a phenomenal year like he did last year and then the year straight after it was as rough as he's had it? He hasn't played good footy. He's been suspended twice. He's been copied with the media all year. What needs to happen for him to bounce back? Or is it – is it irreparable damage?
Well, he needs
it's not irreparable damage. No. I reckon he's a brilliant player and he's a great leader and I reckon he'll be back. He just needs to get his body right, get his players around him because as a captain, I think you cop it more than most. Like Trent Cotchin 2 years ago was copping it saying that he wasn't a good leader. All of a sudden he's the best leader in the AFL because everybody else improved around him, which was great for the Richmond Footy Club. But I reckon Tex will be back and I think he should remain captain.
The best thing he can do as a leader is play well and his body hasn't allowed him to this year. Mm. He's been frustrated. He's had to cop all that other stuff early in the year. He was the face of that. So, look, he'd be tired. Not just physically, but mentally tired. He just needs a break and, he'll be all right next year.
Yeah, I reckon he'll be good. I reckon Texas fine.
Now, Richo, story time.
Well,
our favourite time for all of our listeners.
Quick
just
one.
To round us out.
This one, at the end of the season, most players like Tex would be looking to get away and relax and have a good time. Brownie, when you finished, you would have gone back up to Bendigo and relaxed with family.
Oh, did I go up to Bendigo?
You did.
Throw some little grenades at signs, did you?
Yeah, throws his mini VBs. So as a kid, I loved getting back to Tassie in my first few years, catch up with my school friends, catch up with my friends.
I've made something of my life.
Strut around down there a little bit.
It'd be very hard to not strut around.
The long hair.
So anyway, this one particular year early in my career, I was looking forward to getting
Samurai
home.
Samurai haircut you had.
And I did have the long hair. So I braided myself highly. Don't worry about that back in Devonport.
People
think he's humble. There's nothing humble about this man sitting next
to
me.
Compared to you, he will always be
humble. Well, Hummer, you can judge that, clearly.
I do think he's humble.
So,
I've told you that before.
Privately, he's not very humble.
So I've got down to Devonport. I've caught up with all my mates. We've gone out. Belly was there. Foo was there. You've met all these guys, Nathan.
Yep.
Have you met the Polish bear, Big Mick? Big fella, big Polish bear.
Is that the one who had lupus?
No, that's...
What's lupus?
No, that not. No. No.
Which, what's lupus?
That was the Mallacoota.
Yeah.
But anyway.
Good nickname for all your boys down there. Mallacoota.
So we're down in Tassie and I've gone out and I had a friend, her name was Nikki, and a past girlfriend. I was looking forward to catching up with her.
Ooh.
No, nothing.
Nikki.
Just be sensible here, boys. Oh, it was nothing like that. Okay. All right.
Why was the next girlfriend?
Why are you catching up with the next girlfriend?
Because we were good friends. Anyway.
Why else did you catch up with the next girlfriend?
So that's why I'm saying.
No, it's
strange.
It was very above board. Very above board. So anyway, we've gone out to the local, and I had a room at the local hotel because Mum and Dad had moved.
Oh, wow. It was all above board, wasn't it?
No, well, it was. Just let me finish, Nathan. Mum and Dad had moved back to Melbourne at this stage. So I'm there, and we've gone back, and we're watching a DVD in my room.
Oh, my God.
So Nikki's come to the hotel room.
Yeah.
So your ex-girlfriend has come to a room you've rented, and you're watching a DVD.
Yeah,
it's all above board.
All above board. So we're watching a DVD, and there's a knock on the door. And I'm a little bit disappointed. I'm thinking, who's interrupting me here? And I open the door, and there's my mate, the Polish Bear, who is 6'4", a huge man, a great man, Mick Nowacki, obviously from Polish heritage. And let's just say Mick had a pretty big night. He couldn't scratch himself, Mick. So he walked in, and I said, Mick, what are you doing here? He said, I just need somewhere to rest.
Oh, no.
So he's laid down on the floor. We've continued to watch the DVD, and the Polish Bear has started to have an issue with his flatulence.
No. Right? The big bear.
The big bear was just letting go, okay? So within a few minutes, there was a nasty sort of stench in the room.
Homer. Mood killer.
Gee, Nikki'd be flat.
Yeah, Nikki, wouldn't she?
Well, Nikki was that flat. She left.
Oh.
She left and said, look, I'll let you deal with the Polish bear.
So it was above board.
So it was, yeah. So Nikki's left. I'm lying there on the bed and the Polish bear has awoken. And I gave him a little spray. I said, mate, what have you done?
So.
You know, Nikki's filthy with you. And he just got up, didn't say anything, and he went into the bathroom.
Oh,
next
no.
thing I can know, his lunch is coming up
the
from
bear.
The other end, the bear. All through the bath. Instead of going to the toilet, he went to the bath in the room. So I go in and the bath
is Kane Johnson laying a cable in the bath.
So by this point, the bath's pretty messy. There's another stench in the room and Mick's gone out of the bathroom. So I've had to go into the bathroom and clean up Mick's mess, which took me a good 15 minutes. So by this point, I'm tired, I'm grumpy, I'm irritable. I walk out ready to get into bed. There's the Polish bear in my bed.
Oh, the bear.
And he hasn't just got into bed. He's wrapped himself up like a sleeping bag in the doona.
Oh.
I couldn't wake him up. He's 120 kegs. So I've laid down on the bed, had no doona to put over me. There's no spare blanket in the room, and I'm freezing cold. Next thing, the Polish bear starts snoring.
Oh, Jesus.
And he was ripping the curtains off the wall. So to cut a long story short, I wake up in the morning. I haven't had a wink's sleep. I'm freezing cold.
Nikki left.
Oh, Nikki's gone.
Ruined. I didn't get to catch up and see how Nikki was going. And the Polish bear's woken up. He's looked at me. And I've said, mate, you are an absolute peanut. You know what? Didn't remember 1 minute of the Polish bear.
The big bear.
So, that was a bad trip home.
Oh, you still catch up with the big bear?
I do, the big Polish bear.
Probably
he's
not,
a good
probably
man.
Probably not, Nikki. I wouldn't have thought now.
He hasn't spoken to me since.
Oh, how good. All right, thank you very much for listening to the Sportsbet AFL podcast. Of course, 20 up this weekend. If your side's up by 20 points, you're paid out then and there. Like, rate, review. And we will chat to you next week on Brownie, Richo and Hummer.